It's just Dom and Charles here.
Yeah.
If you go to chaser.com.au/podcast and sign up to the Chaser VIP program for $9 a month, you get not only ad-free podcasts, Charles, but they also get to hear you fucking up your son's birthday meal. Here's a clip.
I just use my cooking salt thinking, oh, well, that's the same as salt flakes or whatever. Anyway, turns out completely wrong. It was the saltiest thing on earth, right?
It is
was
it the turkey or is it the chicken?
No, this is the chicken.
This is the chicken. Oh, my God, you screwed up again.
I fucking screwed it up in exactly the same way again.
So go down and sign up, chaser.com.au/podcast. Now let's get on with the rest of the Chaser Report.
Not my finest moment.
I enjoyed it.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to a very special Friday edition of the Chaser Report coming from Gadigal land. It is Friday the 19th of August. I'm Charles Firth and with me today is Sammy Shah.
Hello, Charles.
Yes, so have you appointed yourself the co-host of this podcast today, have you?
Yeah, actually, I killed Dom. I Salman Rushdie'd Dom, by which I mean I stabbed him. And now I've taken over the podcast. That's right.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Scott Morrison. We're going to talk about Salman Rushdie. But first of all, we're going to listen to some ads.
Yay!
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Chaser Report. Less news, less often.
If you don't want to get those ads, go to chaser.com.au/podcast. And for $9 a month, you can get rid of the ads. And also you get bonus episodes. So that's really nice. Sammy, what do you want to talk about first? Should we talk
Before anything else, I do want to talk about the fact that my ratings war on Chaser has backfired. And now I've got Chaser Reports fans coming to my Newsweekly podcast page, leaving reviews saying, love the Chaser, Charles and Dom are very funny. My absolute favorite one is someone's written 5 stars, Hamish and Andy podcast is the best. How did they get dragged into this?
This is the way that we both benefit. If we drag Hamish and Andy in, we can just, I mean, even just like 1% of their ratings
would
quadruple our ratings.
Exactly.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, what a week it's been. You know what it reminds me of, just last week of news? It reminds me of the last 4 years or 7 years. Right. It's basically... Because you and I do new satire podcasts, and literally last week on my podcast, I was talking about how boring it is now to do a new satire podcast with the Albanese government quietly and efficiently just doing their job.
Yes.
And then, it's basically like someone was like, oh, okay, fine, here, have a little bit more Morrison. It's a classic old school Morrison. Yeah. I almost felt happy and grateful for him yesterday.
Yeah, definitely.
At the press conference.
All week, I've just been in such a good mood because finally... It's just easy. It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy under Albanese.
No. It's way harder under Albanese.
And you just know, that for the next 3 years, there is not going to be as good a story as this one of the Scott Morrison. This is the sort of final reprise. And of course he comes on after his act has already ended and for one last bow. Yeah.
This is like that scene where, in a monster movie where they kill the monster and then they're all walking away confidently, kind of high-fiving each other, and then it stands up again. And it was so great. And you can see everyone falls into their old rhythms right away. The media obsesses over the story as if there's no other story in the world.
Yes.
Morrison comes out and he goes, fuck you bitches, I ain't fucking apologizing. And I was like, you know what, respect Morrison, respect, play the game the way you've always played.
Yeah, it's like he didn't break character once yesterday.
Not at all. He is just like a top class athlete. You know, you bring him out of, you know, like when Ali came out of retirement and then again dominated for a little while. That's what this was yesterday. It is a person at the top of the game reminding us why we love him. I was so happy, honestly.
So what, do you have a theory about, because everyone's got their own theory about why he did it.
He did it because he can't stop himself. It's like a serial masturbator. You know the guy on the train who just starts pulling on his penis the moment anyone lets him? He has to do weird shit that no one even needs him to do. Like, everyone is like, you didn't have to do this. You could have just told people. He's like, he doesn't know. He has no idea why he kept it a secret. He doesn't even know why he did it in the first place. That's the beauty of it. This is a man driven purely by compulsion. He's like a Batman villain. You know, like when he went to the church and he's like, don't believe in government? That was the closest we could ever get to a confession. This was literally like the Joker carving a smiley face across Gotham City to let Batman know that he did the crime. That is what Morrison is doing. He's going, don't trust government. I was government. Don't trust me. Someone save me, please, from myself. It was the ultimate cry for help, and we didn't even hear him. We're all about, like, are you okay day. That is a man who was not okay, and we didn't hear his cry for help. Fucking bullshit. I'm coming, Morrison. I'm coming, baby.
But it's so weird because, like, before him, it was so clear that Tony Abbott was always going to be the weirdest prime minister we've ever had. Like, you know, guy who ate an onion and knighted a prince and shirt-fronted Putin and, like, it was and appointed himself Minister of Women. Like, he was so weird. It was like, no, well, that's the weirdness, you know, like, some loose unit out of the way. But then, like, literally,
he was still weird.
So you reckon Tony Abbott's still weirder than Scott Morrison?
Yes, because Abbott is not, he's not on the scale. Scott Morrison is the uncanny valley. You know when, like, when you look at something and you're like, that's human.
It's not human.
But it's not, but it is.
Yeah.
But Abbott is, that's just a whole other thing. We're like, that's another entity from another dimension. There's no, he's got angles that don't exist in our dimension. Like, that's a different thing happening. There's got nothing to do with humanity. And then that's why we went with Malcolm Turnbull after that, because Turnbull was the opposite of Abbott. Turnbull was, look at me, I'm wearing a leather coat. That's how wild I am. And everyone's like, oh my God, he's got a personality. He wears a leather coat now. And then we were like, oh no, he doesn't have a personality. That was all his personality was the coat. But Morrison was like, I'm like you, but a little bit squidgier. And then he just, like, he can't help himself. He is genuinely just, if he wasn't prime minister, think about, like, he would have been on a train just in an overcoat and nothing else, just masturbating. And we're lucky that we were able to give this man something to do to occupy his hands.
Because no other country would they? I mean,
no other profession would, no other country would. It's only in politics.
This is a man who got booted out of marketing.
I know. No one gets booted out of marketing. Marketing is where the dregs of society go to fail. Yeah, exactly. No, there was even a moment yesterday when they were writing, they had a news story on the ABC front page about the Morrison thing. And someone had gotten a statement from Barnaby Joyce. And so Barnaby Joyce is picked. And I was like, what a cast of characters we had. We were so spoiled. We didn't even appreciate it. We had Scott Morrison. We had Barnaby Joyce. We had Christian Porter. We had a rogues gallery of villains. Not even cool ones like Batman's. I'm talking like the Flash's villains, like Captain Boomerang and Mr. Freeze and idiots like that. We had all of them and we never once valued them. And now we've got just beige cardboard cutouts for human beings in Parliament. They're just doing their job. They're doing it well. They're doing it efficiently. You might not agree with them, but you can't ever say that they're interesting, and no one ever accused them of being interesting. And damn it, it sucks. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of, I suppose it'll be what it's like when the Marvel Cinematic Universe stops doing movies anymore.
Yeah.
It'll
exactly.
be like, because we hate them now, but then when they stop, it'll be like, oh, I sort of miss going to those.
Yeah, there's a folk tale, right, of like two brothers who hated each other, and they spent their whole lives hating each other, and then when one brother died, the other brother wept openly at the funeral, and everyone was like, why are you crying? You hated him your whole life, and he goes, I'm crying because now I have no one left to hate.
Hate, yes.
That has been us with Morrison. We're like, oh, this was like a hit. This was a hit. You know what I feel like?
Yes.
He did this for us. This was his
This was his little
akin to Jesus taking on humanity's sins. This was Morrison saying, you know what, one last time, just to ease you into this new world that you're in, I will be shitty.
So this is like when Jesus, you know, came out of the cave, they couldn't find him, and he was wandering around saying goodbye to everyone.
Oh, is that what happened? I don't know the details of the Jesus parables. I didn't know that he came out of the cave and then went on a tour. I think so.
Didn't he go and see all the disciples?
I thought he just ascended to heaven.
Ascended to heaven. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that was the Sunday school version of it. I haven't read the Bible I've never read the Bible.
I don't know. I'm sure one of our listeners can fact check us on whether Jesus then went on a
wandered around like there was apparitions of him all over the place, and that's how they knew he was alive.
Well, it's all scientifically accurate, so it must be true.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Chaser Report. News you can't trust.
Well, I think that's Scott Morrison. Now, the other big event that, of course, wasn't covered in Australia at all.
I'll tell you why. Because it had to do with books, and those frighten us.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yeah.
We're like, have they made a movie yet? No? Yeah. All right, I'm not watching.
Books and Muslims. A real...
We need to start a new podcast called Books and Muslims.
The most unpopular podcast in Australia.
there was the attack on Salman Rushdie. Here's the crazy thing. So I had in 2018 or 17, I had been invited to an atheist conference that was going to happen in Australia, in Melbourne, and the World Humanist Society or whatever had putting it together. And it was going to be Salman Rushdie and myself, because I had just come out with my book, Islamic Republic of Australia.
Mm. Which was almost as good as Midnight's Children.
I mean, some people will argue that it's the Midnight's Children of our generation. By some people, I mean me. And that's pretty much the only person who argue that. Anyway, I'm not convinced by the argument, I'll be honest. But we were supposed to be on a panel. It was going be my dream come true, because I was going to get all my, like, I've got all his books. I was going to get them all signed by him. I was going to be an annoying fan. I was going to ask him how someone who looks like him is able to have sex with someone who looks like Padma Lakshmi, all of these things. And then they canceled the entire event because between him and me, there were so many death threats that Victoria Police was like, please don't do this. We cannot provide enough security to stop them. Because this is at the time when I was getting crazy death threats.
Oh, you were getting crazy death threats because, you know, you were on the radio and radio is under white.
Well, that was separate. Threats I was getting. That was another time. No, this was because in my book, Islamic Republic of Australia, I talked about being an ex-Muslim and like leaving Islam. And then word of that got its way to Pakistan and they don't like ex-Muslims. And so I kind of got a lot of flack for that. But I missed out the chance to meet him and I was really excited.
So wait a minute, did he come to Australia?
Nope, they cancelled his ticket. They cancelled the entire event before he could even leave. To come here.
Don't you think, like, if you're putting on an event with, why don't we get to sort of, like, Muslims
who didn't anticipate that?
But isn't that the whole reason to put on the event? Like
I know, like, that's what I thought. But also, I think basically people forget. Like, even he's clearly forgotten, which is why there wasn't any security around him. That the threat is still out there.
But isn't it also just that he sort of decided that he needed to live his life? Because he was in hiding for our younger listeners, we should probably give a bit of context.
So, books are a thing that, you take wooden bark and you flatten it through roller press, and then using ink on that you write words. And it's not a thing that exists on TikTok, but yes.
It's a bit like TikTok, except that you, instead of swiping up,
swiping
you swipe sideways to move yes. between the different pages.
That's right. And it has less butts on it. But depending on the book, actually. It might be Mills and Boons. Yeah. It might have a lot of butts, actually. But yes, yeah, so Salman Rushdie wrote a book. He wrote a book on Midnight's Children, which was his first book. Actually, it's his second book. He wrote a book before that, which he pulled out of publication because he's too embarrassed by it. But Midnight's Children was his first official book, and it won the Booker of Bookers. It won all. It's in every major list of the most influential books of the 20th century. I think it's one of the best books ever written. And then he wrote another book after that called The Satanic Verses. And a lot of Muslims with poor reading comprehension assume that it's a book that is blasphemous in content and then retaliated by demanding his death. And then the Ayatollah of Iran, at the time was Ayatollah Khomeini, a few months before he died, declared a fatwa against Salman Rushdie. And so basically there were protests and riots and people died all over the world, including translators, publishers, book events, things like that. There were bombings, there was fire, there was people stabbed to death, all these things. And he had to go in hiding for 20 years. He changed his name to, I think, Joseph Anton, which was the name of his autobiography as well. And he exists to this day, but he just got stabbed a few days ago.
Yeah, right. Gosh.
Yeah. And I don't know how much of like, that's the interesting thing, like, because I saw on social media recently a bunch of like Australian like intellectual commentators and stuff were saying none of them have read Midnight's Children. And I was always wondering like whether that had any splash in Australia at all, like his writing.
Well, it's interesting because I was at a family dinner and I was the only person who hadn't read Midnight's Children. And I felt
really?
Very embarrassed. Okay. So obviously, well, certainly amongst my family, it's made its way. Sort of thing. Although everyone agreed that Satanic Verses wasn't nearly as good as Midnight's Children. So,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
I just had to nod knowingly going, oh, yes, well, yeah.
In those situations, do you cop to your ignorance or do you just pretend nod along and pretend no one notices?
No, I just nod along and pretend that
I... Yeah, so you're Morrison.
I'm the only person in my entire extended family... Mm-hmm. who I'm the first person for many, many generations in my entire extended family that didn't get first class honours at university. So
shameful.
I got a 2-1 and basically people don't even talk to me at family parties anymore because I'm sort of... I'm the thicko.
They don't make eye contact. Yeah. They're like, he might, you need to talk slowly to him. He's very slow. Yeah.
And even my mum said, well, like, if you don't get a first class honours, you really should get a third because at least shows you only scrape through because you're doing other interesting things. Like, getting a 2-1 is the worst.
Yeah. See, I was a terrible student my whole life. Like, absolutely atrocious. People think I was a good student because I wore glasses for a while, but I actually was quite terrible. Yes, you can fake it till you make it.
You then wrote a novel that's basically as good as Midnight's Children.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I'll take that from you who have not read Midnight's Children or my novel. Absolutely.
No, I have read. I've read Islamic Republic. It was not really.
Oh,
a novel,
that's right. Yeah,
sort of memoir.
You did that. I remember. That's. I think that's when we hung out. Probably.
I think that's the first time I met you was after I read Islamic Republic of Australia. I think you must have been on your book tour. Yes, it would have been around. 2007. So probably instead of doing the Salman Rushdie event, you probably got interviewed by me. Pretty much.
just as likely to end up getting stabbed, but you know, it didn't happen.
One of those sliding doors moments.
Yeah.
And you got the bad universe.
No. I mean, hey, it's the universe I didn't get stabbed in. So I don't know if that's good or bad. although his books are like Satanic Verses is at the top of the charts right now after the stabbing. And I could do with a sales boost is all I'm saying.
And I suppose the key is to just get stabbed somewhere not too bad. Like, because he's going to lose sight in one eye. That's
pretty bad. I don't want that. If you could get one of the interns, like ask Lachlan or someone, to just practice like a light stabbing.
Yes.
You know, just to help me with my sales. That's all, you know.
Before we go, can you give us one good death threat story from your past? Where was your best death threat story? Was it in Australia or in Pakistan?
I mean, see, when I was in Pakistan, the death threats were more like straightforward. they were like, you know, here's a bullet in your mailbox, or here's a, you know, just a warning. Like, they weren't really, there was no flair to them. There's no artistry to them. When I was with Islamic Republic came out, the one of the ones I used to get regularly was someone would Photoshop me being beheaded in increasingly like realistic ways of Photoshopping, like really detailed Photoshop. I was really like, it was really impressively well done. And I always like wondered about that overlap between graphic designers with a background in the Adobe suite and ISIS. Yeah. You know, like what is it that combines the two? But clearly it was someone, ISIS funds are going into the Adobe suite, which is expensive. We know it's $200-something a year, unless you get an educational version, which I don't know if ISIS counted as an educational enterprise. Given the University of Melbourne these days, sometimes I wonder whether they might, though. And,
well, they've got training camps. Surely the training camps in Afghanistan.
Yeah, they'd be able to get a discount or something. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just really detailed Photoshop. You know, like there was blood spurt, things like that. Some of them were really quite impressive. Like, I wasn't threatened by them. I was just awed by them.
And what would you do? Did you forward them on to the police? Or
Yeah. There was, at the time we had Vic Paul was involved. So I'd forward them on to them and they'd be like, cool.
What do you do? Good Photoshop job.
can you hire him to do our posters for us for the next fundraiser? They don't know. What the hell are they going to do? They're like, I don't know. Don't write a book, you fucking idiot. No one reads them anyway.
Tamisha, that was wonderful. What are you doing on the weekend? You doing anything?
What am I doing on the weekend? I am, basically just promoting myself on the socials the way all of us hustlers do, and praying for the end of the world.
Tamisha, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Our gear is from Rode. We're part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you on Monday.
Bye.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.